Sporty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
This is a very important game for the U.S. team. If we have any hopes of qualifying for Russia in 2018, Costa Rica has been one of the strong teams in the competition to date. They have an outstanding team, beat the U.S. team convincingly last November, and this will certainly be a very difficult game for our team.
That's Bruce Arena, the head coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team, speaking ahead of Friday night's crucial 2018 World Cup qualifier against Costa Rica near New York City. Coach Arena and the Americans currently have 8 points in their six-nation World Cup qualifying group. That puts them in third place, 3 points behind Costa Rica and 6 points behind first place Mexico. The top three teams earn automatic berths to next year's International Soccer Jamboree in Russia. The USA-Costa Rica match will be played at the 25,000-seat Red Bull Arena, the home of Major League Soccer's New York Red Bulls Club. Because of the New York metropolitan area's diverse population, the American players are aware that Costa Rica could have a good number of supporters at Red Bull Arena. The USA's veteran goalkeeper, Tim Howard, grew up in the area, and Tim says, and I quote, "That's the beauty of our country. It's incredibly diverse. Knowing all the ethnicities and nationalities that are here, it will be wonderful." And Howard continues, "If it's pro Costa Rica or pro USA, it really doesn't matter. It's still our home. That's what makes America beautiful." Tim Howard might say it doesn't really matter, but the USA's head coach, Bruce Arena, says he's looking for the home field advantage to give his squad a boost.
I think generally in team sports, and there's certainly exceptions, that home field advantage is huge. In our competition, where it's only 10 games and the conditions are very challenging on the road, it's critical you earn 3 points at home. If you don't do that, it's not likely that you can qualify for a World Cup. So the U.S. started poorly in the competition with 2 losses, losing in the opening game Mexico, and that put the team behind the 8 ball. And to recover, you need to win at home. And typically, the U.S. team gets positive results at home. And typically it would be 4 or 5 wins or 4 wins in a draw, rarely a loss. So starting the campaign with a loss certainly put the team a little bit behind. We've gained ground since then, but there's still 4 games left, and they're very important if we have any hopes of qualifying in this World Cup.
That's Bruce Arena, the head coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team, and he was speaking in Harrison, New Jersey, near New York City. This fun fact about Coach Arena: he was born in Brooklyn, the most populous borough in New York City. When asked about the U.S. team playing its first World Cup qualifier in the New York metropolitan area, Coach Arena joked, "This is New Jersey, by the way. The New York guys never accept the fact that New Jersey is New York." In African World Cup qualifying results from Thursday, Guinea and Uganda both posted victories, as we hear now from reporter Samson Omale.
On Thursday, Uganda moved to the top of Group E in Africa's 2018 World Cup qualifying campaign with a shocking 1-0 win over Egypt. It was Uganda's first win over Egypt in 52 years. The Cranes of Uganda interim coach Moses Basena says they are still cautious of their next game and do not want to be distracted by Thursday's victory.
I've tried to do everything within our means to try to get the best of our players to be at their best mentally, physically and psychologically so that we are able to encounter the Falaos, as they are called.
In a later game on Thursday in Group A, Guinea beat Libya 3-2 with a 93rd minute winner. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Gordon, go.
And the troubled side of life. There's a bright and a sunny side too. Though we meet with darkness and strife, the sunny side we also have in view. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life. All the storm in its fury broke today, crushing hopes that we cherish so dear. Clouds and storms will in time pass away, and the sun again will shine bright and clear. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten our way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
All right, Roy.
Let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though the moments be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always to keep us everyone in His care. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
That's the late, great Merle Haggard, who died last year at the age of 79. We heard Merle sing how there's a dark and a troubled side of life. Haggard's childhood was troubled after the death of his father, and he was jailed several times in his youth. But Merle managed to turn his life around. Yep. Merle knew there was a bright and sunny side of life, too. Country music great Merle Haggard with his version of Keep on the Sunny Side. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Boxing news now on the VOA. In just over 2 weeks, Saul Canelo Alvarez will trade punches with Gennady Triple G Golovkin in one of the year's biggest fights. The World Middleweight Championship bout will be held at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. the same venue that staged the recent Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor mega fight. I asked our reigning prince, a pugilistics Namdi Hollywood Moweta, will the publicity surrounding Mayweather-McGregor hurt the promotion of Canelo Triple G?
This fight, September 16th, is the fight the fans have been waiting for. They talked about this. We've been waiting for this fight, and we expect nothing less than explosive toe-to-toe action. From what happened Monday right here in Los Angeles, 1,000 fans coming out for just a media workout, that just shows you that the interest from Saturday night is coming over into September 16th fight. But the other question becomes, will the fans that shelled out more than $100 for pay-per-view come back to shell out another $75? Remember Conor McGregor with the MMA, they're big, they're huge. We cannot sell them short. And not only that, Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, they are trash talkers, you know, show guys, they talked. If you bring in Triple G and Canelo, these are like gentlemen, you know, no insult. And these don't sell tickets. Go back and look at the press conference with Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. That makes you want to come out. But these two guys are gentlemen. They don't talk nothing that will make you want to jump out. And yeah, we will see a great fight, but are we going to see drama? Are we going to see all the entertainment with the Floyd Mayweather McGregor gave us? I don't think so.
You also mentioned the language aspect on an earlier show. Mayweather McGregor talking in English during their news conferences. Canelo speaks in Spanish. Triple G, his English is not his first language. I guess that must kind of hurt the pre-fight publicity.
Oh, definitely, Sonny. Every promotion is very important for the fighter to express himself. Conor McGregor had all that going for him, and Floyd Mayweather had that going because they could talk all the wonder and the fans will understand. But if a guy speaks only Spanish and the guy from Kazakhstan, his English is so-so, the media don't give it all the ink that they will want for the promotions.
Floyd Mayweather, he came forward most of that fight against Conor McGregor.
I told you, I was going for the knockout. I was going straight ahead. And with going straight ahead, you're going to take contact. I understand that.
Do you see Canelo and Triple G going forward?
That's the only way we will enjoy this fight. We are expecting the fight where nobody will back up. These are two great punchers. The Mexicans, they are warriors. And I want to remind you again, this fight is happening on the Mexican Independence Weekend. They come out in big numbers. And with their warriors don't back up, they fight. With Triple G, he will fight. So it's going to be an exciting fight, and we don't expect anybody running around the ring and holding and something. We just want to see the bumps drop and somebody's counted out by the referee.
In terms of being counted out, Namdi, I understand Conor McGregor got a 2-month suspension. What is that all about?
Well, Sonny, that's normal in the game in combat sports. If you're knocked out, if you stopped, the boxing commission will give you a 2-month suspension, which means no contact. For him, no contact is till October 11th. He will have nothing to do in the gym or train or do anything. Well, this man is not talking about fighting in October. If for anything, the talk is for him to fight on December 30th for his next fight. So he, well, Sonny, he just made more than $100 million. Why does he need to go back to the gym? Ask yourself that question, Ray. Will you go back to the gym if you have $100 million? No way, bro. You're yeah. Chilling big time, man. Living large.
Chilling.
Chilling, bro. Counting your money.
Another guy who's been counting his money is Manny Pacquiao.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines.
And I understand he's going back to Australia, Namdi.
Well, Sonny, now the talk is for Manny Pacquiao to go back to Australia where he was robbed against Jeff Horn, the guy that beat him. The question you should ask yourself, why is Manny Pacquiao still fighting, really? Manny Pacquiao is a senator from Philippines, and he should stay in the Senate. A rematch with the big crowd, I don't see him winning the fight. Mind you, Manny Pacquiao, these guys are not young guys anymore. And when you age, like you see with Floyd Mayweather, the reflexes are gone. The defense is not there. You're fighting a young cat in his backyard. This time around, he may knock Manny Pacquiao out. And I don't see any reason why he's going in for this fight.
Namdi, let's move up to the heavyweights. Anthony Joshua, AJ, what's the latest with him?
Well, it looks like everything is set for October 28th. Cardiff Principality Stadium. The stadium holds 50,000 people against Kubrat Pulev from Bulgaria. It's a fight that he has to do. He has no reason why not to take. This is a mandatory fight, the number one contender. We're looking at October 28th. Hey, come on, Sonny, man. This cat is not in the same league with AJ. You know, this is a guy that Vladimir Klitschko put a beating on. You know, so it's going to be like a punching bag. It will make Anthony Joshua look really, really good, and Anthony Joshua will carry him for a few rounds and then knock him out cold, and that will set up the big fight with the Bronze Bomber.
When do you see Anthony Joshua coming here to the States, Namdi? Would he fight Deontay Wilder in the U.S.?
That would be a very bad business move, Sonny. If he wants to fight Deontay Wilder, the best place would be to take him to Wembley Arena. Come on now, you're fighting an American, the best heavyweight in America, in Las Vegas, T-Mobile Arena. Makes no sense. Whereas you can do 90,000 at Wembley, you have your judges and your family behind you. The best move to do is fight him in the UK.
Namdi, one of Africa's top fighters, Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo. He's kind of recouping now after a knockout loss to Terence Crawford. We haven't really talked about it, but Crawford, very impressive, Namdi, with that third round knockout. What did you think of his performance?
Sonny, going into this fight, we know it was a Mission Impossible fight. Terence Crawford is in a different league, pound for pound, the best, one of the best in the game today. Go back and look at that body hook, Sonny, man. Once he went straight to that body, homeboy from Africa just went down. And for him to get up was very hard. He tried, but he was fighting the best, and he had nothing to be ashamed of. He made money. When he takes that money back to Namibia, he'll be doing fine, you know. And I think in the fight game, we still respect him. He fought the best in the game, and he has nothing to be ashamed of.
Will Ndongo and Crawford now move up to the welterweight class, Namdi?
Crawford definitely moving up to the 147 pounds, and Ndongo will stay at 140. He can still rule 140. Mind you, this is his first loss, really. And then I think there are guys he can beat in that division. And not only that, not many guys will want to fight him. He's a tall, rangy southpaw that will make you look awkward and look bad. So if I have my own fighter, I'll be running away from Ndongo. I will make my fighter fight Ndongo. So Ndongo can still beat guys and still stay in that division and maybe rule the division. But will guys fight him or will guys run away from him? I think guys will run away from him.
Terence Crawford, does he now deserve to be included in that conversation among the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world?
Mano a mano, Terence Crawford is one of the top ones now. I think it's time for him to move up and clean up the welterweight. The question becomes, will he bring his power to the 147 division? Because it's one thing knocking guys out at 140. You may get to 147, and you just find out you can only box, and when you hit guys at that division, you may not be able to move them. So we will wait and see. But there are good fights for Terence Crawford in that division with Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia, Errol Spencer, American, if he can get his act together. So there are big money fights for him, and I think it will make that division a very exciting division.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Happy Friday, Andrew.
Happy Friday to you as well, Sonny.
What's trending at the end of this week?
Well, an update since you last spoke to Namdi about that big welterweight title fight. It has since been announced that Manny Pacquiao will not be participating in that fight, and the fight has been postponed. Of course, Horn beat Pacquiao in the controversial fight in July in Australia, so some questioning if Manny Pacquiao didn't want to have a repeat of that. But apparently, according to Pacquiao's reps, he says he has other commitments rumored to be government duties. Of course, he's a senator in the Philippines. Fans are very disappointed about this. They wanted to see the rematch. So they're hoping that it may happen down the road, but at least in the foreseeable future, it will not be happening.
I think Namdi agrees with the Pac-Man's decision. He was saying it was a bad move to go back down under.
Yeah, maybe he realized that and said, wait a minute, why am I doing this? Why am I going to put myself through this again? Still fans talking about the controversy of that decision, even after it's been rescored and they said, no, Jeff Horn would have won any way you slice it. Still not happy about that. So maybe that played a part in his decision not to go back and try to have that rematch.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, speaking of rematches, if we were hoping for an easy match after his first round at the U.S. Open, Roger Federer did not get that in his second match of the tournament. Going the distance against Mikhail Yuzny, five sets yet again, and as many fans noted on social media, this is the first time ever Federer has started a Grand Slam tournament with 2 5-set matches. Of course, Federer is 36 years old, and he has had back issues, so the big question becomes, can he hold up at this grueling pace throughout another 5 matches to get to the final and win the U.S. Open? A lot of question marks there. Fans hoping that he can do it. It's been what they call the fetissance, the year of Roger Federer, the year of Rafael Nadal. They like to see these guys make it go the distance, and so they're certainly hoping that Roger Federer can do that and hold up, but we'll see what happens.
What's your take, Andrew? I know Roger would probably like to be winning these matches and quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an impressive 2 matches so far, going the 5 sets and prevailing. I don't think he can continue at this pace. I think he's going to need to have some easy 3-set wins and hopefully fix whatever's ailing him with his back, get that worked on the off days. But we'll see. But speaking of the off days, Sonny, fans in New York got quite a treat this week, because what do you do when you go to New York? One of the biggest things to do, you go to Central Park, the huge park right in the middle of Manhattan. And fans in Central Park this week got quite a surprise, because who was practicing on the public courts of Central Park? None other than Roger Federer.
He said,
I'm not going to go to the Billie Jean King tennis arena there, tennis compound. I'm going to go right to Central Park. So fans flooding social media with photos and videos. You saw all around the chain link fence around the court, they just lined this fence. And Federer getting in on the action too. He posted up a few photos and he said, Central Park hitting, extremely cool experience. And he put up another post. He said, when in Central Park. So, you know, when in Central Park, you know, you got to take out the tennis racket and hit around. But lots of fans really enjoying this. He took a lot of pictures and photos and videos with fans afterwards. So they were really excited to see him, especially because the tickets to the U.S. Open can be pretty pricey, especially if you want to see Roger Federer. I think there's a premium for those tickets. So it's nice that these tennis fans just walking through the park got to see one of their tennis heroes.
And yet those tickets are being bought up. I think the U.S. Tennis Association says they expect more than 700,000 fans to attend matches during the tournament. So that it has to be probably the most popular in terms of attendance of all the Grand Slam tournaments.
I think so. And certainly with the year that Federer has been having, with the year that Nadal has been having, with the potential that they could meet in the semifinals, I think that's going to be a very hot ticket for sure. Of course, we talked about the way the seeding works. Unfortunately, they won't be meeting in the finals because Andy Murray pulled out late with that hip injury. But that if there is a Federer-Nadal matchup, you can expect that to be the hottest ticket in New York. Forget any Broadway show or anything like that. This is going to be the hottest ticket in New York.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, speaking of champions like Manny Pacquiao and Roger Federer, we turn now to Michael Phelps, of course, the winningest Olympian of all time, making some news on social media this week because he and his wife Nicole are expecting their second child, and they put up twin Instagram posts, the same photo on their two Instagrams. Michael Phelps wrote, number two on the way, so excited, wonder if it's a boy or a girl. And his wife Nicole Phelps put up the photo and said, lil man's gonna be a big brother, referring to their son Boomer. So lots of congratulations pouring in for Michael Phelps and his wife. And Phelps kicking off a bit of a conversation this week because he posted a photo to social media of him and Conor McGregor in swim caps and goggles. And he wrote, all of this talk, should we race as well, Notorious MMA? Of course, Notorious MMA, that's Conor McGregor's Twitter handle. So now fans asking, can Conor McGregor go, I guess you would say, fin to fin with Michael Phelps in the pool? A lot of McGregor fans saying, hey, he can swim with the best of them. He can fight with the best of them. Why not try it out? But a lot of people saying, this is just a pipe dream, never going to happen. But who knows? We'll see.
McGregor, a man of many talents.
Man of many talents. And if it makes him a lot of money, I'm sure he would at least consider it.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Have a good weekend, Andrew.
Thanks so much. You too.
And that wraps up the September 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
The United States has expanded its offer of rewards for information on key leaders of terrorist organizations to include a leader of one of the groups conducting attacks on government facilities and other targets in northern Nigeria, roiling the nation in sectarian violence. Abu Bakr Shekau is the leader of the group commonly known as Boko Haram, a Nigeria-based extremist organization seeking to overthrow the current government there and replace it with a regime based on a strict interpretation of Islamic law. Links with terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab have strengthened Boko Haram's capacity to conduct its attacks. Previously, the group's number two, Shekau claimed overall command in July 2010, expressing solidarity with Al-Qaeda and threatening the United States. A vehicle bomb attack on the United Nations headquarters in Abuja in August 2011 marked the group's first lethal operation against Western interests, killing at least 23 people and injuring 80 others. In April 2012, the group bombed a Nigerian newspaper office in Abuja and later threatened other local and international news outlets, including The Voice of America. Under his leadership, the group has kidnapped hundreds of children to serve as hostages, bearers, and even fighters, most recently in the northeastern town of Damasak. Shekau is tall, slim, and has a dark complexion. He was born in Yobe, Nigeria, sometime between 1965 and 1975, and is of the Kanuri ethnicity. He speaks Arabic, Hausa, Fulani, and Kanuri. He is known to have used the aliases Abu Bakr Sikwa and Imam Abu Bakr Shiku. The Rewards for Justice program is offering a reward of up to $7 million for information leading to Shekau's location. The U.S. promises that all credible reports will be investigated, and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the U.S. is prepared to protect informants by relocating them and their families. If you have information on this man, contact the nearest U.S. embassy or consulate, or submit a tip to www.rewardsforjustice.net, or email information to info@rewardsforjustice.net. You may also call the Rewards for Justice tip line at 1-800-877-3927.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown.
Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on The Voice of America.